It's a renterswarehouse.com roadshow. Live from the Saloon Door Brewing in Webster, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
See what the Bengals' asking price for A.J. McCarron is?
No.
Second round pick.
Kick the tires on it?
I certainly would, too.
The year he came out, I would say use a second round pick on him.
If I were the Texans, absolutely. It's another guy you don't know what you're getting. And, of course, we know Bill O'Brien's track record with that. They've all worked out so well. I wouldn't give up a second for that. What's your second-round pick going to be? Another Brandon Harris?
Right.
Yeah, you're going to go draft somebody else who doesn't make the team?
Ian Rappaport with a tweet. A potential and unprecedented three-way deal being played forward. The 49ers inquire about Cousins. Redskins talk about Tony Romo. Cowboys get draft picks.
I can't imagine the Cowboys would trade Tony Romo to the Redskins.
Would it shock you if Tony Romo had a better season next year than Dak Prescott?
Not at all, no.
If Tony Romo goes and has a better season than Dak Prescott in D.C. for the Redskins, that would be a bad look.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real. At Jon Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And if you miss the first 2 hours, lots of good stuff, including another just great segment with R.J. Bell, who, as always, is the best. A lot of the things you heard there in the recap, all available, podcastarena.com. Lamont asked something on Twitter. I know you responded to him, but you know, what's going to happen when Mike and Mike ends, but the latest I heard is that this is through the end of the year, correct?
Right, through the end of 2017.
Right.
And I talked to one of the guys from ESPN when they were down here for the Super Bowl from national ESPN radio, a guy who's pretty high up in that pecking order, and he said there's no plans to change anything until the end of 2017. And I'm guessing that means after the Super Bowl next year.
Right.
Because they're not going to make a change like that.
No.
During the football playoffs. That just doesn't happen in radio. But my guess is shortly after that, we'll see a change. But they don't have any idea what the contingency plan is for after Mike and Mike ends. So until that happens, nothing's going to change here locally either.
Yeah, and I think we'll wait and see.
Yeah.
Because excuse me. I think we'll wait and see because obviously that's it's a really good show that does very well here. And
that's the thing. Like I like the idea of going all local. Like I think that's, and you know, when we were talking to RJ, I said, you know, radio is sort of a dying thing. Sports radio is a bit of an exception because you always get that local aspect, but our station in particular, I mean, we do local stuff, but we've prided ourselves on being able to talk sports on a national level as well, which I think is good for our audience because
absolutely,
our audience is from – not everybody in our audience is from Houston. But, I mean, that measures out also in the ratings. People like Mike and Mike. And
yeah.
I don't know if people like national radio in general. I tend to think that they normally don't. But Mike and Mike is an exception to that rule.
And that's because they have been together so long, and that's such a heavily produced show.
Yeah.
You know what you're getting.
Mike and Mike gets better ratings than we do.
Yeah, most months they do.
So me personally, I wish Mike and Mike would stay together forever because it's good business for our station.
Yeah. But if not, then I think we'll obviously take a look at it and see. And yeah, it really isn't a dying business because with podcasting now, I mean, a lot of our listeners go back and actually listen to it on the podcast because they're not in the car 4 to 7 or they're not able to access us from 4 to 7. And I think that's one of the things that's going to help radio survive is that we've got this medium where we're doing really good numbers and people still want the content. And as long as that's the case, then I think we'll be fine.
Yeah.
But then Chase said,
but I'm glad that we've gotten – I mean – you know, we used to cover up Russillo and Cannell,
yeah.
our show did when we were on in middays. And I'm glad that we've found viable programming on the local level to cover up, you know, Colin Cowherd's old spot. Because honestly, I'm not crazy about most of the shows that ESPN puts out nationally. Like, I don't like the Dan Le Batard show. I'm not into that.
No.
So I'm glad that they found that stuff. But at the same time, Mike and Mike has always been sort of an exception to that rule, and those dudes are ratings monsters.
Well, and when Colin left, I think they did not do a good job of replacing him. When SVP left, they did not do a good job of replacing him. And I think, you know, the focus there, and I guess if Greeny's going to TV, it just shows they're more focused on TV now. But I don't know what they'll do, but I'm sure we'll wait and see. But if it's Golic and his son, I don't have any interest in that show.
I don't either.
Would anybody?
No. I mean, I'd have to hear it. I honestly would have to hear it. But I think Mike and Mike works because it's a product that's been together for that long. They're different enough
personalities.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear dad scolding son on air.
And honestly, like, Mike and Mike's not a show that, you know, that I'm into.
Yeah,
you
it's
know,
not for me either.
It's not my kind of show, but a lot of people seem to like it. So I usually, and that's why I was surprised that they would even consider moving Mike Greenberg to television, because that show is just such a monster success for ESPN as a network.
Well, and I think the question was, or was slowly becoming, how committed are they to ESPN radio? And that would be the question. So, old school Chris says he listens to the Bliss podcast every time the Aggies play.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Lamont said, radio is like the U.S. mail service. People say, oh, this is the end, and it still survives through technology. I agree to an extent. I don't think radio is as in danger. And I left a business that's dying, okay?
Yeah.
And a lot of people in the newspaper business try to tell me, oh, well, we'll outlast radio. And I'm like, no, you won't. And I knew that one was going to die because they did not know how to transfer their content and make it profitable. And I think we figured out a bunch of pretty good models for that, and especially some of the things that we're doing on the digital front now. I don't think it's dying at all. I think we're just moving around where the content is.
Here's the reality. For us, people who do talk radio, especially on a local level, there is not a robot who can come in and do our jobs. In music,
I don't know. I'd like to replace you with a sex robot, but
you would. but in music radio, like in music format radio, do you really need DJs anymore?
Not
like,
really.
What do they do?
Not really.
I was riding in the car with my wife, who doesn't have satellite radio in her car. She normally uses Pandora or Amazon Music or something like that. But for whatever reason, she was listening to a local radio station, and there was some hokey DJ on who made a rhyme and then had someone call in to win something and then played another song. And I was thinking, what a life to have that job where, I mean, I guess the good part of it is you have to do almost no work.
Yeah.
There's no real – you don't have to go home and prep a show for the next day. You don't have to worry about what you're going to do on the air tomorrow. But at the same time, you are so eminently replaceable and damn near useless that eventually someone's going to figure it out and say, you know what, we don't need DJs to read a commercial during the break. I mean, we don't need that anymore. Music radio, as we know it, is dying.
Well,
because there's so many better options.
But even on the Sirius channels, you don't really need those guys for the music channels.
No, it pisses me off when they talk, honestly.
Yeah, it's like, dude, push the button and move on to the next song.
Yeah, I just want it to be, and I understand.
I'm Sammy the Shark, and we're going to talk about Guns N' Roses coming right up in just a sec. Shut up and push the button.
And like, I understand they have some things that are like they promote, you know, concerts and things like that are coming up. I get that.
On the ones I listen to, it's basically promoting other stations on Sirius XM.
Yeah.
So here, you want to get your sports on, you can check out NHL Network on 91.
I like how they just do like a quick. And some people like news about the bands and stuff like that, which I don't care about.
Right.
But I know some people are into that. Have like a little update once an hour or once every 2 hours. It's like a 1 minute thing that goes over stuff like that. And then just play straight music for an hour. That would be awesome. Because, you know, if I'm on the treadmill or, you know, I'm trying to lift weights, the last thing I want to hear is like a commercial or hear someone telling me what I just heard, because I don't care what I just heard. I heard it.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
21 says, Mike Greenberg is making $6 million a year, and that won't be to do radio. Mike and Mike succeed because they paint with a very broad national brush, and they are innocuous enough to succeed in the mornings when people may have kids in the car. They are the very best at what they do.
They are.
Well, they are. And they've been doing it for longer than anybody, and they have that show down to, you know, a science. And, you know, and they've got an army of people working for them. And I think that's – and that creates a really good show. People know what they're getting when they get Mike and Mike.
Yeah.
You know you're going to get Greenberg talking about the Jets.
Listen, it's not going to be like some exciting, you know, it's not going to be edgy. That's not what you're going to get with those guys, but you're going to get safe old radio.
You're going to get safe radio. You're going to get really good guests. And you know at some point they're going to have one of them is going to have an opinion on something that they totally disagree on, and so you get to hear some good debate. And that's pretty much a plug it in format. And it works really well for them. And you know, I think that's genuinely who they are too. I don't think that's forced. I think I've seen a lot of other shows try to force that format and do it the same way, and it doesn't work. And a lot of the other, including on ESPN, where they try to put people together to try to create the same thing, and it just doesn't. It's, you know, I mean, that show is unique for a reason. 713-780-ESPN. I think we talked too long for me to do my gym of the day this segment, which I didn't get to do in the last segment because we went over with RJ, which, you know what, we should just at some point admit that we're going to do two segments with RJ.
Right.
And change things around on Friday at 5:30.
Lamont says, Mike and Mike problem on a local level is too damn commercialized. They'll sponsor a toilet. And they will, but I mean, it's hard for me to hate on them because I mean, I can't imagine the money they're making. Like when I hear Mike Greenberg talk about the tractor that he owns, and there's zero chance Mike Greenberg could figure out how to operate a tractor. But he's pimping it, and he's probably getting well paid for it. And I mean, I can't blame him because that's...
I don't know where I would be able to keep a tractor. We could barely fit your truck in my garage. How am I going to get a tractor in there?
Yeah.
But, you know, that's how you have to make money, too. 713-780-ESPN. 832 says, delivering pizzas on Friday is the best because I get 3 hours of you guys. Oh, I bet delivering pizzas at this time a day in Houston has to suck.
Yeah.
We'll be there in an hour.
Lamont says, have you guys not got it? Social media has proven people want to talk. Playing music with limited talk is awful. I disagree completely.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want any talk. I just want music. And like, if I want talk, I would listen to talk radio, which I do. And I'm a talk radio guy. I listen to Stern every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I listen to Stern because that's when the new shows are on. He doesn't do a Thursday, Friday show. But on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I'm looking to hear only music. That's all I care about.
And if I want to talk, I'll go to Twitter or Facebook.
Yeah.
I don't want to. If I'm listening to music, I want to hear music. And a lot of times,
I don't need to talk with some hokey DJ whose job is to push a button. Like, that's your big skill in life. I just don't get it.
Yeah. I think
I've never really gotten it, honestly.
When it comes to music, if I'm listening to one of the Sirius channels that I like, and they start talking too much, or they start playing a couple songs I don't like, I just punch up the Bluetooth and go right to my iTunes. That's what I want to hear is music. I don't want to hear anything else.
When I was in Austin, I interviewed with a station, not the station I was working at, for a morning show gig, like an established morning show at a classic rock station that was like a comedy-driven morning show, and they were looking for a third guy to do a lot of comedy stuff.
You'd be good at that.
And they reached out to me, and I went in, and we did an off-the-air test show because it couldn't be, you know, I couldn't,
right,
like, just do a broadcast with those guys because I had a job. But we did an off-the-air test show. We did, we did a lot of talking about what the show would be like and things like that. And this was like a real morning show. So they were playing music, but they were doing, like, bits and things like that during the show. At the end of the day, though, when they basically hashed it out to me what their show is, like the segment by segment, it was like 16 minutes an hour or 17 minutes an hour of actual talk time.
Yeah.
And this was on an actual, like a morning show. so it was a 3-hour show or 4-hour show. So it was like just over an hour, I think, for me to sit there for 4 hours with a hot mic for just over an hour of that.
As the third wheel.
Made no sense to me. They ended up hiring some stand-up comedian, and he didn't work out. But, like, it just wasn't for me because, I mean, if we're going to do a talk show, let's talk. But if not, what are we doing? What are you doing talking if it's not a talk show? You're going to talk a little bit? Who has time for that?
Yeah, I think it depends on personal taste. But that when I want music, I want music. When I want talk, I want talk. And it's like anything else. Sometimes I want one. Sometimes I want the other. It just depends on the mood I'm in. But I don't want a mix of both. And I unless there's somebody who's really talented and really funny who's doing that, but I don't hear a lot of that. And mainly because I'm not out looking for it because
yeah.
I'm a rock and roll guy, and rock stations around here suck, as we've talked about before. So I'm always on Sirius now. And... Yeah, or I'm on my own iTunes and just Bluetoothing it and
right.
jamming on that.
Lamont says he's not trying to debate. He just thinks people want a connection with their local personalities. But, like, is someone who just says, oh, you just heard the new record by 21 Pilots. Next up is some other crap band. Like, is that a personality or is that a button pusher? Because I feel like that's just a button pusher.
Yeah, I when I was a kid, there were a lot of I was a Rock 101 guy when I was a kid. And they had a lot of personalities who also did music. And I liked that because the personalities were great. But I've gotten now where I don't really want that. But I don't think those guys exist on those kind of channels anymore. And maybe it's just not the ones that I listen to. And it's not really fair because I don't listen to any of the local music channels because I'm not a fan of any of them. All right, guys. I tell you what I am a fan of. Sleeping on a Bed from Texas Mattress Makers. And you know what? I had some friends stay over during Super Bowl. And they slept on the one in our guest room. And the first thing they did when they got up the next morning is, I have to get one of these. And they said they were going to Texas Mattress Makers. I'm telling you, the great thing about the mattresses there, the right bed has the right temperature for both of you guys. And they've got all this technology that they know because they make the beds themselves and sell them directly to you. So they're going to put you on the perfect bed for you. You could go to a retail store and spend a bunch of money. You're not going to get the same quality. You're not going to get the bed that's made for you. And it makes it better because you're not going to be fighting about, oh, I like a hard bed, I like a soft bed. They can put it together for you, the bed that works for both of you. And I've got that new Athens gel bed, man, and it is fantastic. This is the newest technology they have. They use graphite in this thing, so when you sleep on the bed's always cool. And it's just amazing what they do at Texas Mattress Makers. And Yuval's family have been making mattresses and foundations for over 30 years over at the corner of Lockwood Navigation, so they know what they're doing. And they know what kind of bed is going to work best for you. And that's the thing. You go in, they're going to ask you how you want to sleep, not how much you want to pay. Because you may have a bed you like, and you say, oh, I want this. But then they find one that's going to be better for you, and it's half the price. Well, they're going to sell you that one. Because they're good people. They're big in the community. They're constantly working with charities. And I'm telling you, if you're in the market, there's no better place to go. Tell them I sent you. They love the Blitzers. Say hello to Yuval. Say hello to Lax. All the gang over there. That's Texas Mattress Makers. You can visit them at TexasMattressMakers.com. Texas Mattress Makers at the corner of Lockwood and Navigation, 4619. Navigation's the address. The best sleep at the best price guaranteed.
Well, hello!
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, your home for Aggie sports. Stay sportsy.
And we're back on The Blitz, live here at Saloon Door in Webster. Man, this is a cool place. Come out here and watch your sports. They've got the TVs on the wall here. The projection, it is fantastic, and the beer is really good. The food is really good. The people are really good. There's just nothing negative about it, AJ. So come on, check it out. A texter asked this question. It took him like 5 texts to ask it. Basically, how long do you guys want to keep doing the show? And the answer to that is, I don't know. I mean, I am here for 3 more years. I have a plan to be able to retire in 3 years. That doesn't mean I'm going to, because I think I'd be bored out of my freaking mind. But after the book and the movie hit, I might be in a position where it's going to make more sense for me to just write.
Right.
And, you know, so I'm looking at 3 years, and then I'll evaluate then. But, you know, I imagine that if things are the way they are now, I want to keep working.
And I'm obviously in a different boat than you because I have young kids.
Right.
But, and I'm currently only signed through the end of this year and haven't even started talking to them about what happens beyond that.
I'm not worried about that getting done,
but
yeah.
I mean, I, like, you know how I've been in the past. Like, I don't know if, like, I'm totally in love with doing radio. Like, so there's times when I'm just like, I feel like I'm wasting my time doing a show when and there was a time I almost took a job a few years back. I got offered a job as a deputy U.S. Marshal, and it sounded like the most badass job, running around and, like, busting people with meth labs and shooting guns.
I remember, like, when you were thinking about that. I was like, that kind of sounds cool.
This is an awesome job. And then I saw the starting salary would have been like a $30,000 pay cut for me, and I was like, ugh. So, I mean, listen, we make a good living doing this show. Dave Tepper told me a long time ago that it is very difficult to find a successful show on radio. And he's right to an extent, because how many shows have come and gone since we started doing the show together? You know, you and I, we've got the longest running sports show in this town, and we've done it on a station that spends $0 on advertising us. We don't carry the Texans or the Rockets or the Astros. We found something that works, and I mean, it doesn't mean that we don't get sick and tired of each other and get sick and tired of doing it sometimes.
It's like any family. It's like any relationship. There are times when it's like, oh, geez, I just need to get away from this guy.
But when you've got something that's working in this business, and let me tell you, I've worked with some shows where it was I dreaded going into the office because I wondered every day if I was going to have to punch my co-host in the face. I mean, so when you've got a show that works, if you love radio, you want to keep doing that show. And for me personally, like, what I want in a radio partner is someone who works hard and who cares about the show. Fred puts a lot of effort into the show. That's all that matters to me. Like, if you care about the show as much as I do, we're probably gonna be okay. And so for me, it's more about a matter of when I want to. It's not like I'm tired of being in Houston or something like that. I just always, like, occasionally get the itch to do something different. So I honestly don't know how long I'll be around.
And that's, you know, that's kind of why I've gotten involved in so many projects over the last 6 months. And believe me, I am worried about getting spread too thin. It's one of the reasons why we're doing the thing with Houston sports and stuff, and I'm involving more people so that I can focus on some other things. But the show is always the most important thing. It's the first thing I focus on in the morning. It's the one thing that will always, I mean, nothing else happens if not for this. I wouldn't have a successful website if I didn't have a successful show. I would have probably never gotten the novel done and had the movie sold if I didn't have the radio show, because it's everything revolves around that. And so this is, you know, I love doing this, and it's important to me. And every day I want it to be good. And if we have a bad show, I'll kind of, did I not prep for that well, or what happened? I always think about that. And, you know, they don't happen a lot, but they do happen.
And that's the problem for me is, like, if I feel like we have a bad show, it ruins my whole night.
Yeah, me,
like,
too.
I go home and I'm just salty and pissed off. And, like, sometimes I think, oh, wouldn't it be great if I had some job, like, where, you know, if I had a bad day at work, I would just forget about it and then, you know, start over again tomorrow. But I don't know what that job is, you know. And I guess, like, If I would have taken that damn U.S. Marshal job, if I had a bad day at work, some meth head shoots me in the face, and then I don't have a job tomorrow.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know. I enjoy doing the show for now, so I don't think about how long we'll do it.
Yeah, I didn't until, like I said, I think the 3 year thing for me will give it time for me to see if the movie and the book do as well as I think they're going to do. And at that point, I'll make a decision on, okay, is this what I'm going to do full-time? Because you'll laugh at me, but there's a part of me that would love to just go buy a place in Colorado, do away with Facebook, Twitter, even get rid of my phone, and just sit around, smoke weed, write, and every 6 months a new novel will pop from me somewhere, and then I'll disappear into a hole and do the same thing again. And I'm not ready to do that now, and I may never do that. I may never be ready to do that. But there is a part of me that would like to spend about 5 years cranking out as many books as possible and just being a total hermit and not even being on Facebook or Twitter.
That would be awesome.
And not even having a phone. I mean, I'd have an emergency phone that my kids would have.
Yeah, if I didn't do this job for a living, I wouldn't have social media. It drives me crazy.
Yeah,
all it does is stress me out.
And read people's political takes and everything else. Man, I would just – Yeah, and honestly,
if I were shooting meth heads, I wouldn't need to have Twitter.
That's true. Shot 2 meth heads today.
Yeah, I feel really great about it.
Hashtag brains.
Instagram a picture of them all brains blown out and stuff. Like, make sure I get the right filter. You know, hashtag dead methies.
Yeah. I love it. But, yeah, the thing is, that's not something that's I'm going to do right away, but it is something that I might be in a position to do, and if I do it, then, you know, that'd be a pretty good life. That wouldn't suck. I mean, I've got a great life now. There's not anything I would change, really. But at that point, 5 years from now, that might be the life I'd rather have. I just don't know, but 3 years, that's the number for now. Plus, I've got a nice new project that we're doing with a gal here that is going to be fun. And I love doing stuff like that because the more I'm doing, the more active my mind is, and I feel like I'm better prepared for the show because of those things. If it gets to where at some point I feel like I am spread too thin, then I'll get out of the other stuff. I'll go back to just doing the show and the movie. That's not movie and the book. All right, guys. One thing I'm never going to leave. You think I'm going to say my wife. One thing I'm never going to leave.
No, I knew you would leave her. You've proven that time and again.
three times. One thing I'm never going
to. Well, your wives have a short-ass leash, way shorter than something else.
Definitely. But I will never, ever give up betting on horse racing because it's one of my favorite things to do. And my favorite place to do it is usracing.com. And, guys, this website is amazing. They've got racing. They've got award-winning race analysis, interviews, and free handicapping tips. And then, oh, by the way, you can bet on over 200 tracks from your computer, your tablets, and your cell phone. And there's nothing better than sitting at the bar betting, which guess what? Guess what I'm going to do tonight? We're going out on a little bar crawl when I leave the office. I will be betting Sam Houston from my phone. How awesome is that? They offer daily rebates up to 8%. And, guys, I got to tell you, if you're a high-volume bettor like I am, those rebates are big, and you can bet horses, jockeys, even trainers. They're safe, fun, secure. New players can qualify for a $150 sign-up bonus, and real easy to deposit. They use Visa, MasterCard, and they have the fastest payouts of any online horse racing site. And they get cash bonuses, and again, those rebates are incredible and excellent customer support. I got to tell you, this is my favorite horse racing site. This is where I go to play the ponies. Give them a call right now, 1-844-US-RACING, or just go to usracing.com, use promo code PONY, and set up your account today, usracing.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Yo, Chief, they can't stop me from rapping, can they? Can they, huh?
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from the Saloon Door Brewing in Webster. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz.
Are we, though?
We are.
Good.
713-780-ESPN is your number. Yeah, I think it's kind of fun every now and then to talk about the show, because
what are we going to talk about besides that? Are we going to talk about Princeton beating Harvard at the buzzer win the Ivy League championship?
As
Princeton,
a Harvard guy.
You're a Harvard guy?
I've been to the Harvard Club.
We sipped Pinky out in the Harvard Club.
How much do you think those drinks were?
I don't know. I literally said, what's the fanciest scotch you have? I'll take it. And then after that, I started, whatever he's having, Mr. Gal, I'll just drink what he's drinking. Kept on rolling.
Yeah.
I like to think our tab was $1 million, but I don't know. I don't know. I just remember, like, after you left, there was maybe three or four of us left, and we went through the full tour of the Harvard Club.
You toured it?
Yeah, like, we got to go up to the library.
Oh, wow.
And we walked in the room where they have, like, stuffed buffalo and things like
I didn't think Harvard guys killed buffalo.
Oh, do they? There was a dragon head on the wall, Fred. You don't even realize what they do at the Harvard Club.
Is it like Hogwarts?
I have no idea what Hogwarts is like. Yeah, that's like Taylor Swift is to you as Hogwarts is to me. I don't know the first thing about that.
Oh, well. Well, they wore scarves and drank fine wine.
Oh, there was a lot of that.
It did magic.
No magic, I don't think.
I don't know. I bet if you got up to that room that had the buffalo head, I bet you somebody was in there casting spells.
There were a lot of ascots. It's okay. An ascot-y kind of place.
Okay. That makes sense.
And pocket squares. I don't know what a pocket square does, like, functionally.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of them there.
I missed out on all that.
Yeah.
All right, let's do these.
You're lost, bro.
Well, you know what? I went home because I knew that I had reached that level where if I kept drinking, I was going to pass out somewhere. And I'd rather it be my own room. I did not want to pass out in the Harvard Club.
I passed out in the gutter on 34th Street.
Yeah, I did not want to pass out anywhere in New York that wasn't my hotel room.
I didn't care. I went hardcore.
And, of course, once I got back to the hotel, then I had my second wind, and I'm like, okay, I'm back out.
Back to the Harvard Club.
I wasn't going back there, but there was a bar across the street where I went and watched hockey.
Where you could wear a T-shirt, probably.
Yeah, wear a T-shirt, watch hockey, and drink Jack Daniels. So, all right, I have to do this because I've been putting it off, and we're almost out of time.
Jack Daniels?
Yeah.
Who would order that at the Harvard Club?
They would have looked down my nose had I ordered that.
American-made whiskey?
Not even Kentucky.
Yeah.
It's Tennessee.
Yeah. You're such a peasant.
All right. Let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right. If you're in radio, you should probably be able to talk, right? That's not going to work for you. Let's see. If you're,
I always wonder, like, what would happen to me if, like, I became blind or deaf?
Oh, that
like,
would suck.
It'd be really hard to do the show.
Or just got a cold that never went away.
Yeah,
and you're yeah. That would.
I would say I'm lucky I don't get sick, but I don't get sick because I don't like shake people's hands and do gross stuff all the time.
Right. Or leave pieces of chicken in the urinal.
I wash my hands when I pee, and, you know, I live a long, healthy, prosperous life.
I've always been pretty lucky. I don't get sick very often, and when I do, I get over it fast.
Yeah.
It's just...
I'm surprised by that, because, I mean, you treat your body like crap.
I kill it with alcohol,
pretty much. I mean, you torture your body, and it's just like, okay, let's keep rolling.
Most
people who do what you do would just fall out, die.
I have a liver made of steel. That's one thing.
It is impressive.
And, you know, I do just enough exercise to offset about 30% of the crap I do to my body.
I still think back to a time in Vegas where we finished, like, we chopped when there was four people left at a tournament.
Yeah.
And you got mad at me because you had, like, literally no stack left. And I said, let's chop four ways. And you got mad at me. You're like, I'm a short stack specialist. You were like almost all the way out of the tournament.
Yeah.
And then you got mad at me for getting a four-way even
chop.
No,
I didn't get mad. I just told you, dude, I hope you didn't chop on my account because I feel pretty good about myself in that situation. I didn't get mad.
So,
I'll clarify that.
We won, I don't know, a few hundred bucks each.
I think you got 480 each for that.
Okay. So I went, and like I typically do in Vegas, I win money playing poker, and then I instantly go and lose it at the blackjack table. Almost without fail, that's what I do. I'll spend the whole day making money betting sports. Then I'll go play poker, make some more money. And then at night, when nothing else is going on, when there's no games to bet on and no poker tournaments going, I sit down at that blackjack table and waste it all. That's my move. So I did that for a couple hours. And you remember our show, and this is we were doing a network show that day, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So we had to be on at like 9 a.m. the next morning, Vegas time. And I'm stumbling to my room, and I don't drink much when I play. I mostly drink Red Bull, which is arguably worse.
Yeah, it's
for
worse
you.
For you than alcohol.
I've felt,
especially when you're slamming it, which I've seen you do.
I've been closer to dying on a Red Bull overdose than an alcohol overdose in Vegas.
I remember one morning you were sweating so much from all the Red Bull, and I thought you were going to have a heart attack.
I could feel my pulse in my eyelids. I thought I was going to die. Like it was legit worry that I would die from a Red Bull overdose. But I'm going to my room. It's like 3 a.m. I am beat. And I walk by the bar that's right by the elevators at the MGM, and I see you with a stack of empty shot glasses. Like, I mean, it's like a pyramid that goes 7 or 8 high.
Well, I was
and you're with
two other people.
Total strangers that I've never seen in my life. I know you had never known before that night, and you guys just pounded like multiple bottles of Jim or Jack or whatever the hell you guys were drinking.
I don't remember what it was, but yeah, nice Canadians. I remember.
And I was like, God, this dude is going to just die. And yet here you are still.
Yeah. Still pumping away.
Yeah.
I have no interest in dying. Okay. But I was trying to set up.
Sorry.
Okay. I was trying
to
set
up. We got off topic.
I know. We've been doing this since 5:45.
Who cares?
I was trying to say
that's what this show is, all right?
Yeah, exactly. But there's certain things you should be good at in certain jobs, right? If you're going to, I don't know, pour beer for people, you got to make sure there's not a lot of foam, right? Little stuff like that. If you're a carjacker, shouldn't you be able to drive stick?
Yeah.
Well, an 18-year-old Ohio man accused of committing 3 armed carjackings in a 10-day span was arrested because he didn't know how to drive stick. 18-year-old Damari Wayne is charged with 3 counts of aggravated robbery, being held on a $100,000 bond. He stole 3 cars at gunpoint, 2 in 1 hour on February 21st after posting bond from his February 11th case. He stole the first car February 11th from a 35-year-old man, and he was charged on February 13th, posted $10,000 bond. So while he's out, let's commit 2 more. The reason he got caught, the second one he did in an hour, got in the car, saw it was a stick shift, couldn't make it work.
Womp, womp.
The teen who was, there was a man and a teen were in the car, and basically a teenager robbed it with him, points the gun at the man and tries to get him to explain how to use the stick shift. Meanwhile, by that point, the cops showed up and got him.
But, not good.
Yeah, so it just, first off, don't carjack. If I'm giving some advice in life, don't be a carjacker. If you are going to be a carjacker, however, go find a friend that can show you how to drive stick shift. Even though it's a small percentage of vehicles that you're ripping off, all it takes is one, and you're going to get arrested.
It's true. Lesson learned. That's a life
indeed.
Lesson.
Indeed. I hope that helps the future carjackers of America. That is your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
FCGA.
The Gem of the Day.
FCGA.
It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
The future carjackers of America doesn't have quite the same ring.
Yeah.
All right, guys. time's flying, man. Years keep rolling on by, and it's already March this year. If you're not in a career or a job that you love, don't waste any more time. Go to mycomputercareer.edu. Take the free career evaluation today. My Computer Career is the IT school where you can get trained to work in the high-demand field of information technology and can start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 3 to 4 months, even with no IT experience. You attend classes live online or in person. just twice a week to get the skills and industry certifications you'll need to start your new career. And it's more than just school. They've got a complete career change program that helps you get into the industry by working with hundreds of employers that hire their students. What are you waiting for, guys? My Computer Career is nationally accredited. Financial aid is available for those who qualify, including the GI Bill for my fellow vets. Classes start soon, so take the free career evaluation now at mycomputercareer.edu. That's mycomputercareer.edu.
These rappers, the game is full of slaves, and they mostly rappers. Soldiers, soldiers.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from the Saloon Door Brewing in Webster. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. I want to remind you, download the ESPN 97.5 app, available for your iOS or Android device. Stream all your favorite shows live on the go or listen to them at your convenience with our on-demand podcast. Just search ESPN 97.5 in your app store and download today. Don't have an iPhone or an Android? You can still stream us on any smart device at the all-new ESPN975.com. All right, let's wrap things up the same way we do every Friday with stupid stuff.
Yeah. Stupid stuff. We've said this week.
Brother says he has to pull for Ken Hoffman in the camel race. Why the hell are you pulling for Ken Hoffman? You're disowned.
What kind of a scumbag brother are you?
Change your last name. The hell out of here.
I heard that Ken Hoffman, he was on with Raheel last week, I think.
He left you off that list, didn't he?
Yeah, I'll never forgive him for that. I don't like guys with the same last name as me.
Really?
No.
Well, neither do I now.
Get that guy out of here, too.
Exactly.
I love being here, I'm telling you. Wednesdays are my favorite day of the week. I just, it's, you know, hump day in all sorts of ways.
She goes again, Fred.
Yeah, I know. That's everything she says now. It just comes out the wrong way. You know what, Haitian Diva? If you call in the next 2 minutes and identify yourself as such, you'll get a 4-pack of tickets.
What if
How's that?
What if she's a fake Haitian Diva?
Well,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's up to the juggalo to figure out.
Okay.
Every now and then, I like to just give something to one of our Twitter guys because they, you know.
Or gals in this case,
yeah. You can be a male diva.
That's true.
I work with one. I should know.
Jung? Yeah, listen.
Kind of baffled as to how I am wrong about it, but okay. God, I read a bunch of cap crap, too, so I don't...
You what?
I read a bunch of cap crap.
Oh, I thought you said cat crap.
No.
And I thought you said I eat a bunch of cat crap. I was like, hey... That's gross.
Well, first off,
B, that's totally unrelated to the conversation.
Only in your pathetic mind would you think somebody was talking about eating cap crap. Jerome Solomon.
Did you throw out the line of how clean your bathroom is?
The old place was tiny and it had no water pressure, so you had to clean that damn thing out.
When you're at a friend's house and they have a platter of meat and a dog is munching on one end, they go like, hey, would you like some? Then they slap a plate on the table, the dinner table, mind you, and a big 40-pound cat is sitting right there on the table.
Well, you haven't been invited over there yet.
No, and after now, you will not be. So. Did you guys see the reporter in Houston that interviewed AP and didn't know it was him until the end of the interview?
Oh, yeah, I have that. Hold on.
You do? Silence.
Hold on, give me a second.
Yeah. I have that.
Oh,
crickets.
Okay.
What, was it a sports guy or was it just a regular?
No, his name is John Donnelly from Fox 26.
Yeah. And you're still looking, aren't you?
I got it.
Okay, go ahead.
And it's not.
And
oh, actually, let's forget about this whole thing.
Yeah, enough.
Yeah. Stupid stuff. We've said this week.
That was a horrible misstep by John.
Yeah, well, he's... I would say 2/3 of us still care about the show.
Yeah.
I still can't believe my brother's rooting against me. It's not like I
can't believe that either.
It's not like I rooted for his brain tumor to beat him.
Yeah.
What the hell? All right, that's going to wrap it up. I want to thank everybody out here at Saloon Door.
Had the odds been,
Yeah, well, maybe. But I want to thank everybody for having us out here. Thank everybody for coming out. Have a great weekend, everybody. Till Monday, stay sportsy.
ESPN 97.5.